hands and voices. The words are wonderful. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices. It takes all of us. Who wondrous things hath done in whom his world rejoices. Who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. What a wonderful thought, is still ours today. So may the Lord be glorified and praised. Thank you all for singing. Our text today is actually going to be Psalm 95, but don't turn there yet, because we're going to also be starting with another very familiar passage, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But as we consider these passages today, I would invite you to begin with me with prayer. Father, what are we thankful for? Help us to examine that as we come to you, and may you be glorified in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you're turning to 1 Thessalonians 5, we'll begin in verse 12. But prior to that, when we've been raising our children, as we've gone through that, we've watched animated things, like we call them cartoons, but animated programs that about Thanksgiving and things like that. One of the most memorable is, as it comes down to it, the theme song in it made the statement, thanks. We'll see how I do. I'll probably choke myself. And then that'll be exciting, won't it? But the theme song in it has a very telling statement as it comes to the end of it. It says, the more you eat, the more thankful you will be. Isn't that a wonderful theme song? It was all about Thanksgiving. The more you eat, the more thankful you will be. Some of you might recognize what animated short that is from. Some of you might not, so I'm not going to tell you so that you don't go looking for it. But that tends to be something that, if you look at our culture, we're getting more and more that way in so many things. The idea of thankfulness, what thankfulness is all about, is the stuff, the stuffing, you know, that goes into the turkey, all of that sort of stuff. These are the kind of things that we become enamored with, is the material blessings. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful, you know, that I get these things, or I have these things. I can eat all of this food. Isn't that one of the things that we think about more often, about when it's coming to Thanksgiving? We're thinking about the meal, the meal, the meal, the meal, the meal. Isn't that true? Or the football game that comes after the meal and later in the day. And all, you know, these type of things. Aren't those the things that we actually are consumed with? We start to think about more often. We start thinking all about these things. And we lose sight of what thankfulness truly is about. Think about the pilgrims, as far as the founders who came over in the 1600s, and their Thanksgiving, we think about what? We think about the meal. You know, the established Thanksgiving, where the Native Americans and them who all came together, and they had this great meal, and it was actually a three-day event. They had all sorts of things that went on during that time. But remember, their idea of Thanksgiving still came because they were thankful to the one who had provided for them a place in which they were a stepping stone to the gospel. They had gone through great suffering. They were still thankful even when it came down to just a few pieces of corn. But at this moment, they had a great event in which they had venison, they had pies, they had all sorts of stuff, and turkeys too, in which they came down to it, and their neighboring friends came and shared with them. But it was all because they were giving praise and thanks to God. They were giving praise and thanks to God, their Creator. Now, their neighboring friends might not have quite fully understood that, but they were able to see from them their thanksgiving and their joy together in their worship of the Lord. So let's just begin in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He's talking about verse 12. As he's wanting to build them up, he's talking about the day of the Lord that's coming. He's talking about all of these many things. But then he encourages them. He says, "Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to give recognition to those who labor among you and lead you in the Lord and admonish you." And especially we're talking about the elders and pastors and those who and teachers that they have. "And to regard them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, and we exhort you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone, see to it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't stifle the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies, but test all things. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil." And so as we look at that, that is a very popular verse, number 18, "Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Are you thankful for everything? Are you thankful for everything? You know, just let that sink in and say, what is everything? But remember, these people were going through suffering. They were going through times of persecution. There were those who were amongst them who were sick. There were those who amongst them who had plenty. There were many things that were going on within, but he's speaking to them all together to be thankful. And so, as we come to that, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. He has a purpose for everything that you and I go through. He has a purpose. God does. He does not despise us in our troubles. And if we're going through troubles, it is not a sign that God has turned his back upon us. The troubles are that you and I live in what? A fallen world. Those are some of the things that we have to continually, always understand, that you and I live in a fallen world. And we will, if you are in Christ Jesus, truly following after him, you will face opposition. If we don't face opposition, if we don't face those troubles, then we need to question where we are at within our relationship to Christ. You know, so those are things to be encouraged by. thankful, isn't it? I'm going to face opposition if I follow Christ. But that's really the message we need to understand. But there are many, 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 many blessings that are offered to us in as we follow Christ. And so as I'll call that the introduction, but let's just turn back to Psalm 95. Psalm 95. Come, let's shout joyfully to the Lord. And that word for Lord there is Yahweh, the I am that I am, the self-existent God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yahweh. Shout triumphantly to the rock of our salvation. Let's enter his presence with thanksgiving. Let's shout triumphantly to him in song. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. The depths of the earth are in his hands. The mountain peaks are his. The sea is his. He made it. His hands formed the dry land. Come, let's worship and bow down. Let's kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years, I was disgusted with that generation. Oh, isn't that encouraging? You know, that's one of those things when you hit that verse, when he or angered by them or all of that, it's like, oh, that just kind of cuts to you. But you realize, he said, I was disgusted with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray. They do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they will not enter my rest. But let's begin at the beginning of that verse again. There is an invitation that is given. We are to learn from this passage of Scripture, and as this was being given to the nation of Israel at that point, we are to learn from that, and notice there is an invitation given. Come, come, come. Being invited, and being invited where? Did I hear something? Before the Lord. Being invited before the Lord. An invitation to come. Let's shout joyfully to the Lord. Shout triumphantly to the rock of our salvation. Let's enter his presence with thanksgiving. Let's shout triumphantly to him in song. We are the ones to do this. It's an appeal for us to come before the God of all creation, before the great I am, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to come into their presence, to come into the presence of God. Let's enter his presence with thanksgiving. Let's shout triumphantly to him in song. And so he's talking specifically to the Hebrew and the Jewish people, the chosen people of God. These are the ones of whom God had rescued. He had delivered them from the land of Egypt. He had delivered them out of bondage into freedom to serve God and to be his people. So he's the rock of their salvation. He's the rock of their salvation. He took them out of captivity. And so their song was going to be triumphant. Enter his presence with thanksgiving. Shout triumphantly to him in song. This was the triumph of their doing, or was it the triumph of God's doing? was God's doing. It was the triumph of God, what he had done on their behalf. Yes, he came down, he used Moses, he used all of these different things, but he used what? He showed his power greatly to bring them out of Egypt. Not only with the plagues, but also through the Red Sea and all of these different things. And then he took them across through the wilderness, and he provided for them. He opened the door. He provided all the way across. He delivered them. He gave them all that they wanted and needed to be able to prepare to go into the promised land. He gave that to them. He provided all of that for them. But what were they to understand about who this God was? This is not some ordinary, handmade, homemade God. That was necessary for them to understand. He was not ordinary. He was not handmade or fashioned. He was not homemade. He revealed himself. They didn't make him. Psalm 100 that we read this morning has that very same principle in it and very same teaching. This is it. For the Lord, verse 3, for the Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods. The depths of the earth are in his hand, and the mountain peaks are his. The sea is his. He made it. His hands formed the dry land. Everything and anything that is made came from his hand. Came from his hand. It's all his. That's the God that they're to come before him with thanksgiving. He's the one, the rock of their salvation. Enter his presence with thanksgiving. The thanksgiving begins with acknowledging the truth of who God is, Yahweh. The I am, the self-existent, eternal, infinitely holy, sovereign, almighty God. So when we come to Thanksgiving, do we think in those terms? I confess, more often than not, I'm distracted from those things. It's that way. We tend in our own humanity to be distracted from that. But the truth is, God's unchanging, and he is who he is. He is who he is. The Holy One, the Righteous One. And so it's good for us to recognize that. But look at back to verse 1 and 2. But this is the thing that we're being invited to do. We are being invited to come into his presence, to know him, to be allowed to come there. He says, let's shout joyfully to the Lord, shout triumphantly to the rock of our salvation. Let's enter his presence with thanksgiving. Let's shout triumphantly to him in song. That's what he's calling us to do. That's what he's inviting us and appealing for us to do. Even though in his presence, we do not have the right to stand. We don't have that right. But he's appealing to us to come. Why? Because he wants to destroy us? No. because he wants to. Restore us. He wants to restore us. He wants us to be his people. He wants us to know him. He wants to have that relationship with him. And that's the reason why he is the rock of our salvation. Come to him. Come to him. Rejoice in him. Be thankful in him. The whole point of thanksgiving is not to fill our stomachs. It's not to sit around our tubes and our screens. Screens, no, not tubes. Screens and shout for joy for the one who wins. No. It is to shout for joy to the one who is our God and our Creator and our Savior. If we are in families who can eat bountifully, that's wonderful. And we can celebrate. And God will celebrate with you. But do not forget the reason why you have that is not because of you. It's because of God. You can go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and in those areas, he said, don't forget. He said, don't forget the houses and the lands and everything that have been provided for you. You did not obtain them on your own. It was God who provided. It was God who provided. So verse 6, he says, come, let's worship and bow down. Let's kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep under his care. That tells us something. He is our God. He is also our Shepherd. He cares for us, the sheep under his care. He is our shepherd. He is desiring to lead us, to keep us, to feed us, to bring us through. But it says, come, let's worship and bow down. Look at Romans chapter 12 for just a moment. Romans chapter 12. Beginning with verse 1. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship, or reasonable worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good and pleasing and perfect will of God. Come, let us what? Worship and bow down. Let's kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep under his care. I urge you to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. You know, to come together today, to sing together, to listen to me even, to as I hopefully bring you the Word of God, is only a small portion of what our worship is. This is collectively, as we all come together. But the truth is, it's that we offer our bodies, offer ourselves to God. So it's not just today. This is a little moment. It's when I walk out of here. It's how I live, where I live, what I do. Walking in sacrificial obedience to God. That's true thanksgiving. That's true understanding as we kneel before the Lord, our Maker, our God. We worship Him. Our worship is by giving up of ourselves. How many of you struggle with that? You don't have to raise your hand. How many of you struggle with that? To give up yourself. I do. I'll raise my hand because I already did. I do. I still fight my flesh. But the beauty is, he tells us, you can look in Colossians, you can look all through, he tells us and asks us to do what? To put to death our flesh. And to do what? In Galatians, in Colossians, and all through that. To follow the Spirit. We follow the Spirit by obeying the Word. He calls us to that. And there will be times in which we don't feel like it. Because obedience is not according to what you feel. It is according to what you believe. It is by faith. It is trusting. It is knowing the truth of God's Word. If we did our worship only by what we believe, we would be very schizophrenic in how we did that. We would be bipolar, up and down. But my obedience is not dependent upon how I feel. It is dependent on what I believe, who I believe. Why is it when I preach, everybody's so quiet? Except little ones, maybe, here and there. Who do we believe? That's a question that I ask our Sunday school relatively often. Who do we believe? Who is the God of our life? Who is the God of our life? If whoever that God is, we believe in, then would we not worship and sacrifice to Him? Again, my obedience is not dependent upon my feelings. It is dependent upon my faith and belief in who God is, who the God of my life is. I urge you to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not conform to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. He desires for us to do that. He desires us to come into His presence. He desires us to know Him. excuse me. So thanksgiving begins with acknowledging the truth of who God is, and it continues with giving up of ourselves. True thanksgiving is when we come to the point of trusting God. Because I want you to look at, in Romans, but in Romans chapter 1, what's the result when we decide that we don't like God's way of doing things? Look at verse 18. You've heard this before. Many of you have heard this before. It says, verse 18, "For God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness of people who, by their unrighteousness, suppress the truth, since what can be known about God is evident among them, because God has shown it to them." And remember, back in Psalm 95, what are we told? If you hear His voice, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. That's actually kind of making a reference to when they were at Mount Sinai. Do you remember what happened in the giving of the law? They all heard His voice. They all knew it. It all came to them. And what did they do while they were there? Did they obey? No. And here they had the presence of God. They had His actual voice speaking to them. And instead, they turn around and say, we don't want that God, because we are responsible to Him if we follow Him. Instead, let's make us our own gods. They hardened their hearts against He who they knew, who revealed Himself, who showed Himself powerful throughout all of that time and brought them out of the land of Egypt. And instead they said, let's make our own gods. Make us gods. Isn't that how we are? We want to control our own God. We want to do our own thing. We want to be thankful to ourselves for our provision. But there's only one God. And we're not it. We're not it. And so, he says, in Romans 1:18, he said, "For the wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and all unrighteousness of people who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth, since what may be known about God is evident among them because God has shown it to them." He has revealed Himself. There is no excuse. We try to make excuses. We try to do all of these sort of things. We try to bring these arguments up because we want to make ourselves out to be better. But in verse 20, he says, "For His invisible attributes, that is His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what He has made. As a result, people are without excuse, for though they knew God, they didn't glorify Him as God or show gratitude. Instead, their thinking became worthless and their senseless hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, four-footed animals, and reptiles." But look at that in verse 21. "For though they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God or show gratitude." Thankful to God for who He is. Thankful to God for what He has done. thankful to God for his provision. Thankful to God. But we don't want to follow that pattern, because that is a tragic result of denying God. Because when we deny him, we actually show how arrogant we are, how proud and puffed up we are, thinking way too highly of ourselves. And when that happens, we deny him, and what does God do for us? He gives us exactly what we asked for. He gives us what we ask for. And our culture is crying out. Because we have become unthankful to God and have desired ourselves. Therefore, God delivered them over in the desires of their hearts. Verse 26, for this reason God delivered them over to disgraceful passions. Verse 28, and because they did not think it worthwhile to acknowledge God, God delivered them over to a corrupt mind, so that they do what is not right. They are filled with unrighteousness, and we can go on and on. An unthankful heart is an arrogant heart, is a selfish heart, is a heart that thinks it's entitled, that thinks it deserves everything selfishly. But the number one attribute of a thankful person is humbleness. Humbleness. Surrender to and giving up of self. Surrender to and giving up of self. Humbleness. If we do not exalt ourselves, if we think rightly about ourselves, our tendency is to thanksgiving. Our tendency then is to thanksgiving. For whatever is supplied, whatever is given, whatever we receive, we're not thinking, I am so entitled to this. It's about time that you saw this. I deserve this. No. Instead, we thank the giver, the one who has given life, the one who has created all things. Thankfulness. Not pride. But humble ourselves before the Lord. In James it says, humble yourselves, and what? He will lift you up. Instead, thankful people are those who understand the grace and mercy of God. The expectations are not built upon their inflated view, their ego, their awesome value. They acknowledge that all things are God's, and the wonder that God, through Jesus Christ, has given the opportunity to share in the wonder and abundant care of His love. We have the great hope, and I'll finish with Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne, "Look, God's dwelling is with humanity," or with men, "and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away." Then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." He also said, "Write, because these words are faithful and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will freely give to the thirsty from the spring of the water of life. The one who conquers will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son," or "my children, my child. But the cowards, the faithless, the detestable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their share will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." We don't want that. Do you? No. We want to be named with those. He says, "I will be his God, and he will be my son." True thanksgiving comes to and looks forward to our great hope and salvation in Jesus Christ. We come to God humbly, not proudly. We come to God kneeling at the cross, thankful that He provided Jesus Christ to pay the absolute penalty and wrath that we deserve, that Jesus takes what we truly deserve, and through Him, He gives us what we don't deserve, His mercy and His grace. And when we come to understand that in Jesus Christ, when we come to understand that in Christ, we are thankful. Our purpose of thanksgiving is to glorify the rock of our salvation. He who created us. If you hear His voice today, don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. And worship and accept the salvation that is ours in Jesus Christ. And make this Thanksgiving a wonderful day of true thankfulness unto our Creator, our God, Yahweh, the self-existent, eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Glorify the name of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to come into your presence with thanksgiving. You invite us. Your word calls us. And you have paved the way for us to come through Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. The rock of our salvation. Glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray.